Okay, if you have your Bible with you, we're going to ask you to turn with us to the book of the Philippian letter. Now, we kind of announced that we were going to pick up just various subjects to try to teach on, or at least try to encourage in. And there was about three of them that kind of came to mind. And I know it's kind of a departure from what we've been studying about the movement of God's hand through His people, through the children of Israel. And someone had remarked that they're looking forward to the book of Romans being taught. And I'm sure we're definitely going to get to that. That's quite a book. And at any rate, three things kept coming to mind for us, and that was on anxiety, depression, and fear. And I think those are the three things that probably afflict us in this day in which that we live. And I know that our forefathers probably had similar situations where that they had anxiety, they had depression, they had fear, but I think today has become more intensified. It seems that way anyway. And with the uncertainty about what's lying upon the future, we see some of the nations that are drawing swords against each other. There's no assurance of what the outcome is going to be. But if we follow a little bit of the prophecy, if we follow a little bit of what God's encouraged us to do, you know, I think that we can be assured that no matter what, the Lord will be with us. So at any rate, in the book of Philippians, we're going to read from the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians. And of course, this was written by the Apostle Paul roughly in about 60 to 62 AD. Now, you go through several references, different Bibles, and they'll say, no, it was 64 AD. No, it was 59 AD, but we do know that Paul wrote this. And he was in prison. This is one of his prison epistles. And tradition tells us that he was in prison several times. And you know, with that happening, you know, a person could easily get discouraged, you know, especially trying to preach the gospel, trying to reach people with it. And then finding out that it's against the law, or it's against Roman law, something has violated their edicts and so on and so forth. But at any rate, when you read through this, realizing that Paul was imprisoned, you know, there's actually a note of optimism, and not the optimism like the world talks about, but kind of like an expectation, kind of like an encouragement. And for somebody coming from prison or writing from prison, that's really pretty profound. They say that the Roman prisons were no luxury place to be imprisoned in. They have said, and I don't know, I've not been able to actually qualify this, but this was told to me that the prisons were also in the area of the where that the sewage ran through. And so that Paul wouldn't have any kind of liberty to move about and go and talk to other prisoners, they believed that he was chained to a wall in this prison while the sewage ran by. Not a very pleasant situation. But yet you'll find a verse of scripture in here from Paul that says something to the effect about rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. And so that's really something. That kind of joy doesn't come from circumstances. That comes from an inner joy from the Lord. So we want to start in the fourth chapter, and we're going to start with the sixth and read down to the eighth verses of this chapter. And the sixth down through the eighth of the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians, we're going to find these words. Be careful for nothing. Now, what Paul is saying there is don't take heedless care. In other words, things always could be worse in our lives. And he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Now, there he's kind of giving a hint that whenever that you have afflictions, whenever that you have disappointments, and especially anxiety about what's going to be happening on the morrow, he said, first of all, keep your hearts and your minds on Christ Jesus. And you know, that's quite an effort in this day and time, whenever that we're, you know, inundated with the media, and we're inundated with the social media, especially, and we get our news just almost immediately, just as it happens. And sometimes that can kind of draw us away. But the Bible tells us over one place, I believe it's in the book of Isaiah, that it said, he'll keep thee in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And I think this is what Paul did. Paul was quite a carrier of the gospel. He, 24/7, if you could say 365 days out of the year in that day and time, Paul was 24/7, 365 days. He went to bed thinking about Christ. Where can I go preach at next? God, will you lead me? Do I need to go over here? Do I need to go over there? Paul was completely sold out to the gospel. And so no matter what happened to him, he still kept his faith and kept his eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now he gives us kind of a list here of things to do, to think on, whenever that we're faced with anxiety. And if you read about the patriarchs, you read about the prophets, you read about people like David, you read about people like Solomon, the apostles, the disciples, they had their concerns, and there were times whenever that they were anxious also. There isn't a person in this world that isn't touched in some way by anxiety or by being anxious. And that's why Paul says at the very beginning, be careful for nothing, be anxious for nothing. Now he said, this is what you're to do. He said, brethren, starting in the 8th verse, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on those things. Now, I always miss that little admonition that he gives there. Think on these things that he just named. Whenever that something, you know, kind of faces me or catches me off guard, everybody's got something that they kind of turn to. I always repeat over and over and over and over and over again the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. And I really key in on that, because after a while it begins to hit me. You are my shepherd, Lord. You're going to lead me no matter what. And it's just that we need to be reminded of it. And I don't know that anybody else does anything like that. That and the Lord's Prayer are about the two main ones that I always kind of rely upon. It becomes kind of like my mantra, so to speak. But he says these things, he said, think on these things, and he says, those things that you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And he said, the God of peace will be with you. And we're going to stop there for just a moment. And of course, we're looking at how that anxiety can affect us as a child of God. I suppose you could say in our day and time, anxiety is kind of an intense, kind of an excessive, and just a persistent worry coupled with fear. You're going to find that fear, anxiety, depression kind of interplay with one another. You know, one kind of leads to the other. One kind of plays off of the other. But at any rate, he encourages us that there are things that we can do. We can go to the Scriptures. I thank God for our Scriptures, for our Bible that we have. And you know, if you ask God to lead you, He'll open something up that will be just for you specifically. You know, it may not mean anything to somebody else, but it's something you can rely upon. Just like the 23rd Psalm. Everybody knows that one. And that's always been my go-to Scripture. But he says in doing that, in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, and in the second verse, and you don't have to necessarily turn there unless you want to. He said, in doing that, be ye transformed, he said, by the renewing of your mind. We have to be renewed. We come to church, we're renewed again. We're given kind of like a new lease, so to speak. You know, sometimes I've listened to Scripture being read, I've sat under sermons, and then all of a sudden, there's something that God just pops out at me. Now, I never thought of it before. Never saw it that way before. And so, whenever that we kind of immerse ourselves in the Scriptures, it transforms our minds. In other words, it kind of pulls us away from the world, kind of pulls us away from the conformity. In fact, the Bible says over in one place, do not be conformed unto this world, but be ye transformed. And Peter points out in that this is through the Scriptures. This is through the Word of God. And it works in temptation, whenever that we're temptation. You know, whenever the Christ was tempted by Satan, he quoted the Scripture, and he would come right back at him. You know, it was on his heart, it was on his mind, and I realized that Satan quoted Scripture to him and said, you know, why don't you jump off the pinnacle of this temple, for it is written, you know, he'll give his angels charge over thee, unless thou dash thy foot against the stone. Well, Christ came right back and said, do you know what? You should not tempt the Lord thy God. That was in Deuteronomy. And so it was kind of there. And I think it can be that way for us. You know, Scripture will come to us whenever that we're confronted with situations. And God allows us and God encourages us to look at the Scriptures and to keep them in our hearts. Now, another way of putting what we read just now from Romans is let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And of course, I got that from a paraphrase, and I was kind of reluctant to, I didn't know if I really quite saw that, but the more I got to reading it, the more it began to make sense to us. We are transformed. Our way of thinking is transformed. The way that we look at things. You know, sometimes somebody will cut me off in traffic, and oh boy, you know, I almost followed that guy to where he lives. And then I got to thinking one day, Jesus died for him too. Yeah. Well, no, I'm just saying. And somebody may do something or flip off something at me and whatever, and it's like, you know, Buster, I'll meet you outside. And I'm not a big guy, but that does cross my mind. And I know who would wind up the winner. But then it will dawn on me later, why did I think that? Why did I approach about that person? Jesus died for him too. And so whenever that we delve into the scriptures, it kind of changes the way that we look at things. You know, we look at what's going on in our world. That's why it's important to read the prophecies and the things out of Daniel and Revelation, because we look at those and we think, oh my goodness, it's heading exactly for that. It's just as plain as can be. Why can't people see it? But you know, I think those prophecies for us today in Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, into the Revelation, I think it's for our comfort and for our assurance that no matter what we go through, God has everything under control. So we try to keep on track with the scriptures, and I think this little eighth verse, and it's not necessarily a little eighth verse, but this that Paul encourages us to do, I think it can be a help to us in what we face day by day. First of all, he says, what is true? You know, every time I see a statement like that, I think about when Pilate stood before, or whenever that Christ stood before Pilate, that Jesus said to him, he is the truth. And Pilate said, what is the truth? And a lot of people take that to mean that Pilate was mocking Christ. I think that Pilate had gotten to the place to where he didn't know what the truth was. I think he was probably searching to find out what is the truth about this man. You know, is he what he says he is? But I think, too, that we seek after truth. And Jesus said in his word in the 17th chapter of the book of John's Gospel, 17th verse, he said, and he prayed to the Father. Do you know that Christ prayed for you before you were born? Before you were saved? And that 17th verse and 17th chapter says, Lord, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And I don't believe that he was necessarily just talking about the disciples there that he was referring to, but he was also referring to us who would believe their report and that we would be benefactors of salvation. He was praying for us, that we would be sanctified. How are we sanctified by the truth? Well, the more you read, the more it kind of sets you apart, or if you will, kind of gets your mind off of what's going in the world. Had a friend down in Tennessee that we stayed with a little while when we moved down there. And he made a kind of an interesting comment, but now I kind of see what he was saying. He said, preacher, he said, you know what? The more I read the Bible, the better you sound. And I said, well, David, and I said, I guess that's one way of looking at it. But it's true. We get more out of the scriptures. We get more out of the service, the more that we kind of immerse ourselves in what is the truth. And the best thing to do is to remember that we have chosen the way of truth. Psalms 119 and 30 says, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments, or in other words, thy ordinances, have I laid before me. When I understand what God has for me, what he expects for me to do, I lay those out and it becomes a path. Thy word is a light unto my feet and a light unto my path. We find that he says, whatever things are honest, or in other words, honorable, an honorableness is kind of like a respect. It's a quality of honesty, sincerity, integrity, faithfulness, self-control, and trustworthiness. And you know, that is so needed in our world today. And when you think about people that are out there, we'll say, they need some sort of light. They need an example set before them. In fact, he says over in one place, call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. You know, I'll get glory out of you. And it's not for our benefit alone, but it's for the glory of others that are going to be looking upon us. What is right? He says, whatsoever things are just or right. He says, in one instance, he said, these are thoughts. He said, our emotions. He said, sometimes we do what we feel is right. And, you know, that's fine and good as long as it lines up with the scriptures. And, you know, if we know what is right according to God's word, or according to what the scriptures teach, or according to what Christ has said, or according to what Paul has written, whenever that we gauge it against that, sometimes, and I'm just speaking for myself, sometimes it's me that I'm kind of following my own law and my own path and my own instructions and my own ordinances. And, you know, I used to be like, Lord, I'm going to do this and I want you to agree with it. And I found out he won't do that. He won't do that. In fact, it becomes the other way around. Paul, this is what is right and you better follow it. And you know, I think to be happy in Him and to be joyous in Him, that's what we're to do. He said, what is pure? Purity, according to the scriptures, has to do with being holy. Now, whenever I say holy, it's not like we're holier than thou. That can be a fallacy. That can be a problem. But the word holy actually comes from the same word as sanctification. You're set apart. You are a holy nation. Do you know that you're saints? And someone will kind of scratch their head. You mean I'm a saint? Yeah, you are a saint. Well, I thought saints were this and that. Yeah, no, you are saints. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are a saint. And so he goes on and he said, whatever things are holy, or excuse me, whatever things are pure, holy, and free from corruption. He said, our anxiety can do one of two things. It can either lead us to God, or it can lead us away from God. And you know, many times the choice is ours. Are we gonna let it master us? Or are we going to let it overwhelm us or overtake us? And that's something I have to ask myself. Is my anxiety leading me to God, to His presence, His Word, being with His people, singing His songs, or is it tempting me to move away from God and to seek a different way? Not necessarily a better way, a different way. And then he says, and goes on and says, whatsoever things are lovely, that is beautiful and attractive. Now, the world has its definition of beauty over here. But then the definition of, and there's nothing all that wrong with that, but then there's attractiveness and beauty over here. And the beauty is in Christ. Christ was beautiful. And you might say, well, I bet he had dusty sandals, and I bet, you know, sometimes he may have spilled a grape or two on his tunic, but yet he was beautiful because of what he was sent into this world to do. He was the Son of God, 100% man, 100% God. And we find that he tells us that he's loved us with an everlasting love. That's loveliness. That comes from Jeremiah 31 and 3. You know, he's to think about that for just a moment. Before that we were ever born, before that we ever came into existence, before that this universe was ever created, and that's hard to get a handle on, before all these things were suspended in space that they're just now discovering, God knew us, knew each and every one of us, and he loved us. And that's why he sent his son into the world to die exclusively for us. Now, I realize it says he came to die for the world. He came to be crucified for them, and that's true. But you were specifically on his mind whenever that he created this world. He has loved you with an everlasting love. And with that everlasting love, Paul asked the question down in Romans in the 8th chapter, I believe it is 28th verse. He said, what can separate us then from the love of God? What can separate us from the love of God? Absolutely not one thing. Even you cannot separate yourself from God. You can't. It's impossible. Once that covenant and that binding has occurred, and God makes his covenant with you through Christ Jesus, that's for all eternity. Yeah, but preacher, I know about so-and-so over here, and they're doing this, and they're doing that. Well, that may not be what God wants them to do, and God has a way of bringing them around. But you know, once saved, always saved. Once they are united in him, united in Christ, that's for all of eternity. And that love never ceases. That love never ceases. You know, even whenever that Peter said some of the most outlandish things that he did, and you know, I try to put myself as thinking about what it would have been like to have been one of the disciples. And it's almost like the minute Peter started in, but Lord, this, you just kind of cringe. It's like, oh my goodness, here he goes again. And we're all going to get a lecture out of it, you know, for our good. But at any rate, God loves us with an everlasting and eternal love. Those things that are admirable are, in other words, are commendable. You know, when we're anxious, you know, our thoughts oftentimes run through a filter of fear and in doubt. If this happens, this will happen. If this happens, this will happen. If this happens, this will happen. And I heard somebody, I can't remember who it was, said that most of the times the things that we fear that are going to happen never happen. And I heard a president in the midst of a great crisis say the only thing that we have to fear is fear itself. And I know it's not necessarily scripture, but I think that it was from God to reassure this nation that God was going to be with them no matter what. Whatever is commendable, positive, constructive, do those things which are commendable. Do those things. You know, cheer somebody on that's doing something commendable. You know, my father used to say, son, I don't care. And this is nothing to say anything about people who operate backhoes and this and that yet. But my father used to tell me, he said, son, I don't care if you're a ditch digger. If you take a shovel and you do that every morning, he said, you be the best ditch digger that there is. And you go with God. And you know, I never will forget that. You know, it's not our station in life, but it's who is with us in that station of life. It's Christ that's with us, the hope of glory. Things that are excellent, that are worthy of praise. Whenever that we get a praise report, we hear about somebody who had been sick and had gone through kind of a close call. That's an excellent report. We're thankful for that. That's a demonstration of God's prayers being answered, of God hearing and answering us today. And Paul encourages us to do that. He said, you know, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And this is coming from a man that spent most of his time in prison. But yet he was able to praise God, to encourage us to praise God, to encourage us to stay in the running, to stay in the race, no matter what is going on around us. And then that which is praiseworthy. That which is praiseworthy. If there be any praise, if there, he said, think on those things. There's a lot of things to praise God about. You know, one day, you know, I praise God that I shouldn't be telling this, that I didn't get in a wreck where I cut some guy off. And I was very, very thankful. I was very thankful to God that nothing happened out of it. But then praising God for what He's created. Sometimes creation will catch your eye and you look at it and it's like, how can anyone say there is no God whenever He can create something like this? Something like this. And that's praiseworthy today. That's to be thankful for. You know, there's so many more things to be thankful for today than to be anxious about. And I know I'll get up in the pulpit, I'll preach some sermon on Armageddon and so on and so forth, and I'll say, oh my goodness, you know, it's coming down to that. But you know, deep down, God's got everything in control. And so Paul tells us in Colossians, and if you want to turn there with me, it's real close to Philippians. In fact, it's the next book, I think. Colossians 3. I can get to it now. Okay. He said, starting with the first verse. Now, this is part of our being renewed in Christ. He said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. He's sitting there continually. It's not just whenever that we happen to think about it that He's there. He's there all the time. And He said, seek those things which are above. He said in the second verse, set your affection. That is what your heart is drawn to. Where, you know, there's a saying about home is where the heart is. You know, if heaven's our home, let our heart be centered upon that. Set your affection on things above and not upon things of the earth. How quickly time has gone by. How quickly that we've gone from one point, we're now in the 21st century. I never thought I'd see something like that. But you know, He's still the same. And He said, set your affection upon those things. And He said, if ye are dead, He's talking about dead unto sin. Whenever you were saved, you died unto sin, you are made alive unto God. Your life is not your own. Your life is in Christ. You've got a better life now than you had before. But He said, if you are dead, for ye are dead in Christ, ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, this is the best part. Someone told me one time we were discussing about the second coming of the Lord, about death, so on and so forth. He said, I'll tell you what, I'm not listening for the undertaker, I'm listening for the upper taker. And He said, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, not maybe appear, or hopefully He'll appear, or could be that He'll appear. No, He said, when He shall appear, then ye shall appear with Him in glory. Absent from the body, Paul said, at home with the Lord. Can you imagine to be standing upon the earth, and then all of a sudden you're in the presence of Christ? I cannot fathom that. What we've got to look forward to. And yeah, I'll get anxious. But you know, the more that I get into things like this, the more I read this, and the more that I kind of establish myself upon it, you know, after a while, the things of the world, they don't get my attention like they used to. But at any rate, I'm so thankful to bring this lesson to you tonight. Next week, what we're going to look at is depression. And that's the second thing that can affect us in the world. I can tell you, even in the profession that I'm in, that I see more medications for that than I do antibiotics and so on and so forth. People are really discouraged. And you know, and even we can get discouraged. But you know, if we can just pull ourselves up by our bootstraps for a little bit with God's help, we can be a help to somebody else who's depressed. Fear. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. That's the only thing. And God will take care of us. God will take care of us. So before that we go any further in this service, anything on your heart or any one word?
Paul, you know, I mentioned Franz there in prayer request, but on the positive side, I can just barely understand him. You know, Linda understands him better, her hearing's better, and she can understand him better than I can. But tonight, we hadn't been there for just a minute or two, and he was thanking the church, which is actually the ladies' group, for the chocolate candy bar he got from Father for that.
Yeah.
And we hadn't seen him for a little while, so,
yeah,
you know, he remembered that, and he made an impression, and he always does.
Wow. You know, you can include that chocolate bar along with what Christ said, if you give a cup of water in the name of a prophet, you'll receive a prophet's reward. So we can include a chocolate bar in that too, because anything that we do, you know, it's amazing how it touches people and it blesses us. Anyone else? I appreciate you saying that, Brother Ron. All hearts free. Go ahead, Graham.
I'd like to give a praise to the Lord for my son-in-law. You know, he's growing all the time.
Yeah.
He tells me about it. And he's been praying about things as he goes to the workshop or the work spot. And he prayed that he has a partner that owns a piece of equipment who also has a construction and does it farther down south.
Yeah.
Arkansas.
Yeah.
And they share this one piece of equipment that Jimmy had never used, that they were going to share to get because it's expensive.
Yeah.
And Jimmy's just starting out, so. Anyway, they both paid half, and Jimmy told him, he says, well, I'm going to need that equipment at such and such a day, you know, and so I'll come down and get it, you know, and he said, oh, no, he said, I'll be needing it that day, and Jimmy said, well, I've never used it. And I didn't pay for half of it. And couldn't you just spare it for a day or two until, you know, I come down and use it and bring it back? And he said, no. And Jimmy said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll get a loan and I'll buy it from you. And the man said, can you do that? Jimmy said, well, I can sure try. And so, this is not his exact words, but I'm trying to tell you how it went. So God forgive me. Anyway, he said, so they made kind of a kind of an agreement. And Jimmy went down to get the equipment and it wasn't there. So he came back and he said, I know what I'm going to do. He told Katie this. And she said, what? He said, well, they got this equipment. We bought it in Iowa. And so I'm going to go up to Iowa and see if they'll help me out. So he prayed about it first.
Yeah.
And he went up to Iowa to this equipment place. And he told him, he said, the bank turned me down because I have too many things I'm trying to buy at once. And so the man said, no problem. He said, we can just float you along right here. And so he got his equipment. And Katie said, I knew it, Jimmy. You prayed before you went. He said, yes, I did. And she said, I told you. If you want to be successful, you've got to pray.
Yeah.
And so he's been praying before he goes to work every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I'm just so proud of him.
Yeah. Isn't that something, how God works in our lives and our everyday things? It's amazing, you know.
Yeah.
That is so good. That's a great praise report.
Thank you. I told her to tell him when he got home that he is now a witness for Christ.
Yeah.
And that he needs to start sharing some of these stories.
Yeah.
So that he can give God the praise.
Right. You know? Right.
Because that's why when you get help, you need to pray.
Sure.
And you need to share.
Yeah.
And let people know. It's not that you're bragging or anything.
No.
It's just you want to give God the praise. And how can you give him the praise if you keep it to yourself?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
That's
right.
Yeah.
Brag on God.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. So many things he does for us. Sometimes we forget to thank him or give him honor and glory. But,
right.
But yet he still loves us and he's merciful to us.
Right.
Anyone else? Anything on your heart?
Is anxiety, is it a synonym to have anxiety?
I think probably it is when it gets to the point that people can actually rely upon it. You know, they can actually, it becomes kind of like, well, if I don't worry about this, then I won't get it or it won't come to pass. It's kind of hard for us to let go and have faith towards God that, okay, God is going to do this. God will do it in His time. But if we try to take it upon ourselves, we're kind of in essence shoving God over to the side and saying, okay, Lord, thank you for being around, but I'm going to worry about this. And that'll kind of hasten it along. And that never works.
No.
It never works.
It does not work.
It doesn't work.
So I do not like to worry.
It does not work.
All right. Anyone else?
Yeah. There's so many scriptures, especially, you know, so many scriptures, like you were saying, that what you quote, to encourage us. And I think, like you were saying, to stick it in the Word. Because we all, anybody that can, I think being truthful can say that they don't deal with anxiety. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think Satan can really take hold in us during the day before we even know coming on. And so I agree that scriptures, I have to go back to scriptures and quote scriptures to myself to keep me from worrying, from being anxious about something.
Yeah.
And I think you have to mark them. You have to write them down. You've got to imprint them. You know, they've got to become part of you so that you can repute that worry and fear.
Yeah. That's true.
My favorite is Proverbs 3 and 5. You know, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Because I want to fix it. I want to figure it out. So trusting God, just say, okay, God, you are in control of this today.
Yeah. And so true. Whenever that becomes a part of us out in the world, you know, that's, we're a light to others and we have a pathway of light before us.
I think sometimes anxiety, whenever you can't, or for me, when I can't control the situation, that's where I have to put it into God's hands. Just keep praying until I get peace of God.
Yeah. Peace that passes all understanding.
Does anybody else have scriptures in there?
Yeah. Yeah, is there anyone else?
Scripture that...
Just learning to find my words.
Huh?
I'm just learning to find my words.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot. That proverb, the other one is... Proverbs 27 is a good chapter for you. Or Psalms.
Sorry.
Psalms 27.
Yeah.
I can read that. There's just so many that will comfort your soul.
And whenever that you read back into the scriptures and see that, you know, there were other people in that day and time, even whenever that Jesus walked among us, there were other people that, same sort of thing, you know, they were no different than us. And he had to teach them. He taught them. And I think through his word, he teaches us. You know, he teaches us how that we can kind of overcome, you know, the anxiety of the world. Anybody else?
It's something daily. I think you have to deal with it daily, too.
Yeah.
Anxiety is something that I know I have to deal with.
Yeah, go ahead, Lily.
1 John 4:4. Ye are come of the children and overcome them. For greater is he that's in thee than he that's in the world. That's what my heart.
Yeah. That is great. Yeah.
Is that 4:4?
John
4:4. Yeah, First John. 1 John 4:4. Okay. Anyone else? Favorite scripture or?
I was like Romans 8:28. All things work together for good for them to love God and call according to his purpose.
That's right.
No matter how bad things are,
yeah.
God's working for your good.
Yeah. That's another great anchor verse.
That's a good reminder.
Okay. Anyone else? Scripture you want to share? Well, I'm sure you have one that you kind of go back to and rely upon, but throughout the course of the week, always lean upon the Word. That's where our strength, that's where it comes from. Remember the prayer requests that have been made? All the sick and the afflicted. Remember those that are lost and unsaved. Let's pray for them that they can come into a saving knowledge of Him.